We have a really special offer today, and I'm so excited to share it with you. The ultimate giveaway. Do you want to receive one of our planners for free? Or would you like access to our Instagram growth course worth £59? At My Bump to Baby, we are massively passionate about making sure parents have the protection in place that they need should the worst happen. If you choose to book in with your nearest family law solicitor today to have a look and a chat about your will, or if you book in with your financial advisor to review your family protection or your pension, we will give you access to either our Instagram course with £59, or we will send you one of our amazing planners completely free of charge. To qualify for this, all you need to do is fill in the form at the bottom of this podcast and we will book you in with your nearest advisor. You don't need to take out a policy and you don't need to take out a will. It's just simply having a chat to make sure that you have the protection that you need should the worst happen. We are so excited to bring you this offer and we hope you take advantage of it because protecting your family is the most important decision that you could make today.
Unfortunately, in life, things happen that we have no control over, which is why My Bump to Baby works with one financial advisor and one family law solicitor in each town throughout the UK. If you have not protected your family in case the worst should happen, please, please think about it. So many families are left homeless when a loved one passes away and the spouse left behind cannot afford the mortgage or the bills. If you have not got protection, please think about it. We insure our mobile phone, we insure our household appliances, we insure our pets. Why don't we insure ourselves? Please, please, today, go to www.mybumptobaby.com/family-protection-legal and find your nearest financial advisor or family protection specialist. It is so important that you are covered should the worst happen. Are you looking for groups and classes for your little one? Perhaps you're looking for pregnancy classes for yourself. My Bump to Baby is the UK's leading pregnancy to preschool directory. To find your nearest pregnancy to preschool group, class, lesson, or service, head over to www.mybumptobaby.com. You can also read our reviews on the latest products, days out, and services. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of 50 Shades of Motherhood, the place where we can come and talk openly and freely about motherhood and all the different journeys and challenges it brings. So today I'm really excited to welcome on my guest Lauren back. Now, Lauren is actually our My Bump to Baby area manager for the Newcastle upon Tyne area. As well as being a mum of three, Lauren also runs her own blog, which is called The Newcastle Mum. And if that's not enough, she is also the head of our influencer network at My Bump to Baby as well. And she looks after our network of over 500 parent bloggers and influencers. So today we are talking to Lauren about sepsis, something that Lauren actually experienced only a couple of months ago when she nearly lost her life after giving birth to her little boy. So we're going to cover about sepsis today and we're going to raise awareness about it so you know what to look out for and she can share her story with you guys. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of 50 Shades of Motherhood. Today, I am talking to my lovely friend, Lauren Back, who unfortunately suffered sepsis, after her son was born. So, hello, Lauren, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good. I mean, even I think it was on season two. By season two, I don't think you'd actually given birth to Max at that stage. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so. I think it just finished.
It had, yeah. So we knew you were pregnant and everything. And then obviously, unfortunately, you're on here today, but talking about a subject that we need to raise awareness about. But, you know, only a few months ago, this actually hadn't happened to you. So, yeah, it's quite a big few months you've been through, really.
Yeah, a bit of a roller coaster.
Definitely, definitely. But so what I want to do, Lauren, is probably just go back to the start. So as I mentioned to everyone in the introduction, Lauren actually is our area manager for the Newcastle upon Tyne area. And she's also the head of our influencer network as well. So as if Lauren hasn't got her hands full enough, she's also got her three children. So Lauren, tell us a little bit about you.
So I'm just a normal person from Newcastle. I've got three lovely little babies. I've got two girls and one boy. Got a puppy at the minute as well, so that's more drama to add in. She's only 3 months, so she's a Labrador. She's a bit of a handful, but she's lovely. On maternity leave, but I'll go back in April, the start of April, I go back. So it's just a bit full on at the minute.
Yeah, I bet you feel like you've not really had much of a maternity leave, really.
No, it's just been the same, hasn't it? Just same four walls, not being able to do much. But
I know, it's hard work, isn't it? But so, Lauren, you've got so last year, you've got your two gorgeous girls. And then did you decide to have another one, or did your little one just happen?
It was a surprise.
yeah
it wasn't planned, but it was a nice surprise. And I think I've always said I would have another one. Alan, on the other hand, is a bit like, I don't know, maybe if it's a boy. It wasn't planned, but it was a surprise.
How far gone were you when you found out?
I was about eight weeks when I found out. But then, as you know, I was suffering the bleeding. I went to the hospital where I was told that I was having a miscarriage. Which I sort of knew, because before I had Mia, which is my first daughter, we'd had two before I had Mia. So I sort of knew. But then for about 2 weeks, I was still getting like symptoms, like pregnancy symptoms, like sickness, like boobs hurting, and just feeling generally like, you know, when you're first pregnant and you're really drained and tired. So Alan was like, maybe you should go back to the hospital and just like have a checkup. So I went back. Obviously I had to go by myself because it was COVID. Which was stressful enough, and then I go back and they're like, oh no, there's still a baby there.
Wow, so it could have been that it was twins then.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for answers, but they did say they were going to look into it, and they did say that it could have been twins. They think it was, but they haven't confirmed it, so.
Oh, it's sad, but nice at the same time that he's okay, obviously, because,
I think Alan would have had a heart attack if it was twins.
Oh, my God, could you imagine? Oh, dear God, I know. Bless you. So that is a bit of a roller coaster in itself, isn't it, at the beginning? Yeah. So you 8 weeks, you think you're pregnant, then you think you're losing it, and then you're pregnant again. So, yeah. Was it when you were bleeding, was there loads of blood, Lauren, or was it just like, was it like a normal miscarriage, like compared to what you had before?
They were both a bit different. So the first one that I had was quite bad, and then the second one I had wasn't as bad. So it was sort of like the second one. It wasn't like loads and loads of blood, but it was enough to think, oh, there's something not right. Yeah. So obviously that's when Alan was like, oh, like, I'll take you to the hospital. And that's when we got told. But then obviously 2 weeks later, Max was still there.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. So your pregnancy then, Lauren, was that a smooth pregnancy?
I'm lucky that I was pregnant, but this one was tougher compared to the last two I had. So with Mia and Millie, I didn't have any symptoms. I was just plain sailing the whole way through. But from the minute I got told I was having a miscarriage and I wasn't, I knew that Max was going to be trouble.
Yeah.
So from about just after I found out that he was obviously still there, I had really bad sciatica to the point where I physically couldn't get to the toilet, like from the bedroom, which is just the next room along. Because I was in that much pain just with my back. I couldn't walk. I couldn't put like weight on my leg. And it got to the point where Alan was having to like help us go to the toilet, like to get to the bathroom. And that sort of was until about 30 weeks. And then I got a maternity belt, which sort of just like lifts the pressure off a bit. And that did help. And I think what helped as well was that he'd move positions. So I think the way that he was lying to start with, he was lying on the nerve. And then he'd moved, so it like towards the end it relieved the pressure, but then obviously at 36 weeks I got told at the midwife appointment that he hadn't grown, so then we had to go for the emergency growth scan, which at the time it was when partners couldn't go with you for emergency like scans and stuff.
Oh god,
I had to go with that by myself with Alan waiting in the car park. And we were told, oh yeah, no, he's fine. I think he's going to be like the bigger baby out of the three. So Mia was 7'10" and Millie was 8 pounds 8 when she was born. So I was like, oh God, how much bigger is he going to be?
Yes, your poor fairy. Oh dear.
And then I got to him being born and he was 10 pounds, 1.5 ounces.
Oh my goodness. Could you tell, like, obviously I've not really experienced like a birth of that size before, so could you tell the difference or not when it's coming out?
No, it all felt just like the same. Like, he didn't look to me any bigger than what Millie was. So they were like, oh, how big do you think he is? And I was like, 8 pounds 10. They're like, oh yeah, we think about the same. Put him on the scales. They were like, oh my God, 10 pounds 1.5 ounces.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, do you know what? I think sometimes they end up, I don't know about you, but I noticed that a lot of people end up having to go to growth scans quite like towards the end. And everyone worries so much, don't they? But then, you know, hopefully, well, most of the time it all ends up okay anyway.
Yeah, I think it's just the stress, isn't it, of them saying, oh yeah, your baby's not growing or your baby's too big. It's just, you think the worst, don't you?
Oh God, I'm a nightmare for that. I'm always thinking the worst of every single blooming thing. So yeah, no, that's it. So when he came out then, were you well then in yourself when he actually was born?
Yeah, so when he was born, I had a lot of blood loss. So I lost 1.5 litres of blood. But I think it's because like the pushing bit, it was only like 8 minutes long. So I think because he was a big baby and he came out quickly, I think it was just a lot for my body to handle type thing. So I lost a lot of blood. I lost 1.5 liters. But it was getting to the point where like my blood was like clotting inside. So sorry for too much information, but it got to the point where the midwife had to like put a hand up into the that area and like pull the blood clot out.
Oh, that's awful. I remember that with George as well. I had that and it was just awful, like pulling, like, oh, it's an awful feeling as well, isn't it?
No, well, I didn't think anything was wrong. Like obviously after he was born, I was just lying there as you do, waiting for them to come and check if you've had a tear or anything. And I was like, oh, Alan, have a look, like I think I've lost some more blood. And he had a look and he was like, Lauren, there's loads, like I'm gonna ring the midwife. I was like, oh, okay.
Were you scared at this point or were you still kind of in a bit of a daze?
I was in a bit of a daze because I was obviously I'd been on gas and air, so I was just a bit like, you know, when you're like coming down from gas and air and you're a bit like, God, what's just happened? So yeah, it was just, I didn't think there was anything wrong, like I felt fine in myself. And then obviously when Alan told us, I didn't really panic because he didn't look worried.
I think
the way he handled it really helped how I handled it type thing.
I know what you mean. Oh, it's scary though, because I think when you lose so much blood, I only remember from George, is I felt like I was just drifting off, but really peacefully. I don't know why. It was a really weird experience. So what happened when they came back in then?
So they were just like, oh yeah, like you're losing a lot of blood. And then they were just coming in and taking, you know how they put like the pads underneath? And they were just like taking them away and like measuring how much blood was in it and stuff. Like obviously some was pooling, some was clots coming out. So they just had to measure, like they were just taking it away and measuring it all. And then it got to, I think it was about 1 liter, and they're like, right, we really should be doing something, because nothing, like nothing was, it wasn't slowing down.
Where was it coming from then? Obviously around that area, but what was the reason?
We never really got an answer, to be honest. They never actually said, oh, this is the cause of it. They just said, because he was a big baby and he came out so quickly, it's just one of those, like, they didn't really give a full answer, to be honest. I don't think I'm going to get one. But, yeah, got to about one litre, and they were like, look, we really should be doing something. And then about five doctors came in the room, and I was like, oh, my God. They got, like, a scan, you know, when you get, like, a baby scan?
Yeah.
They got, like, one of those machines, but it was portable, so they were, like, checking my womb to see if they could see anything. And that's when she was, like, the head SHO, so like the head doctor for that ward, she was like, oh yeah, I can see you've got some blood clots, so I'm just gonna like give you gas in there and I'll just go up and like pull it out. Obviously it was uncomfortable, but it didn't hurt or anything. And then I got an injection in my leg, had an allergic reaction to that, but it was more just my leg like swelled up a little bit.
And thin the blood, was that to thin it, or
it was to help control the bleeding. I was given blood thinners, obviously, when I was discharged from hospital. I was on them for 6 weeks.
So in the hospital then, did the bleeding eventually stop then? You get transfusions?
I had to get a blood transfusion, but I didn't have to go into like theatre or anything for that. It was just literally like a bag, like put in through an IV drip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had that. I got IV fluids as well, to top everything up. And then it just sort of stopped by itself, really. Obviously I was still bleeding, because you do after you give birth, but it wasn't severe and they weren't worried. Then I had to stay in so he was born on the 12th, and then I was in for 2 days. I got discharged on the 14th, just because my blood pressure was a bit off. And obviously my iron levels, so I was given iron tablets to help with that as well.
Yeah, so then you got home then, Lauren, and were you just settling into being, did you feel weak, or did you feel any different to what you felt like after having the girls?
No, I didn't. It was, like, obviously I could tell I'd lost blood, and that it wasn't weak, it was sort of just, like, quite lethargic. So we got discharged on the 14th, it was about midday, and I was just, we went to see the girls because they were at the granddad's while I was in hospital, and introduced them to Max. And I can remember they were like giving me a cuddle, but like I was in so much pain with my tummy. And I just thought that it was like, you know, like after you've had a baby and you get like your cramps, like the afterbirth cramps. Yeah. And I just thought it was like that. Like I didn't think anything of it, but it was like if they touched it, it was really sore. And I just thought it was like everything that happened, and I was like, I'll see how it is in a couple of days. But I didn't feel any different to what I felt like after I'd had the girls, really, just sort of my tummy was a bit tender, really. And then.
And that could have been like, that's easily dismissed though, isn't it? Like you say, because of all that you went through afterwards, you'd think I'm probably a bit sore because, you know, the doctor's had his hands up there, you know, pulling everything out. And it's just one of those things. So then when did things start to kind of turn not so good?
So we went in the car, like just to see my sister at hers. Like she just had a look through the window at Max, and then went to Alan's mum's because they live like close to us. So it wasn't like we didn't go massively out of the way. It was just so they could have a look through the window. And I remember getting to my sister's, and I was like, oh, do you have like a can of Coke in the house? Because I felt like I needed sugar. She said, oh yeah, she brought some out and I had some. And it didn't really make a difference. So we got home and I kept saying to Alan, like, my tummy's really sore. And he was like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll just be like after everything that's happened, you have to just give birth to a 10-pound baby. And I was like, oh yeah. And then we were just like pottering around, like getting the house ready for him and stuff. And then it was like about 6 o'clock at night, so like just after tea. And I just said, like, I really don't feel well. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't feel myself. I was like, I don't know if I'm just tired. Like, I just thought I'd been, because I'd done too much. And I just felt like, you know, we've been in hospital for what, 2-3 days. Like, I think I'm just overtired. And I remember our friends came round and to see Max, and Alan and Mike, they left because they have a Labrador. So they bought the Labrador. They went for like a walk and I was with Angie with Max. And like, I kept saying, oh, are you really cold? Like, we'd had the heating on. And I was like, are you really cold? And I was like, shivering. She's like, oh, no, I'm okay. And like, again, I just thought it was because I was overtired. And then I was like, oh, I'm really tired. Like, I feel like I could just go to sleep. And she was like, oh, just go to sleep. I was like, no, I'm not.
What time was this then? Probably 7, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 7-ish. And I was just like, all right, like, I'll stay awake. I'm not going to go to sleep when, you know, I've got guests and stuff like that. They weren't out that long. And then about 8:30, they left. So we came upstairs and I went to have a shower. And I remember getting in the shower. Like, I had to get Alan to help me in because I felt really weak. And I got in the shower and I was having a shower, but the whole time I just felt freezing. Like, the shower wasn't cold, it was hot. And like, I was just freezing. Like, I was just standing in the shower, like, oh, I'm really cold. And then I had to get Alan to help us out the shower. And I was just like stood, like, I didn't have the energy to get dressed. Eventually I put my pajamas on. And then I still felt really cold. So I put my a dressing gown on top and just got into bed and said to Alan, like, I need to go to sleep. Like, I remember just feeling really tired, like sleepy. Like, I couldn't keep my eyes open. And then so Alan was like, yeah, it's fine, I'll stay up with Max if he wakes up. I mean, luckily he's been an amazing sleeper, so it wasn't a massive issue. But he was like, oh yeah, don't worry, like I'll like get up if we need to get up, I'll get up with him, don't worry, you just get rest. And I remember him waking us up like a few times in the night, being like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, why? He was like, you're breathing really heavy. And I was like, oh, no, I feel like, obviously I wasn't fine, but I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. Like,
yeah, because when you're asleep, you probably don't really know you're not okay, do you really?
No, like, I didn't think any different of it, you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm fine, fell back asleep. Like, but I just remember really struggling to be awake. Like, I just wanted to keep my eyes closed and just go to sleep. So then it was the next morning when obviously it all kicked off. And I was really struggling to breathe. And I couldn't tell at the time because obviously I was asleep, but it was Alan who woke us up. And he was like, are you okay? Your breathing's really funny. And I was like, oh no, like I can't breathe properly.
Oh God, that just makes me feel like I can't breathe now. You know, like, did you start then panicking? Like, because that would make you then not be able to breathe more.
Yeah, not really. I was confused. Like, I was just a bit like, what's going on? Like, I didn't really understand like the full extent. I was just like, no, it feels a bit funny. I'm struggling a bit. And then I went to, so Alan like got up and I was like, I really need to go to the toilet. So obviously I've been asleep all night. I was like, I need a wee. He was like, right. And he got up to help us. And like, I don't remember this, but I passed out and I fitted. So Alan just was like, right, I'm taking it to hospital. I'm not waiting for an ambulance. Like, I'm just going to take it to hospital. He rang the birthing unit at the hospital where I gave birth, and they were like, yeah, just bring her in straight away and we'll sort it out, we'll see what's going on. So that was about, by the time I got to the hospital, it was 6:50 a.m. And obviously that hospital, luckily you're allowed to have your partners there and stuff, but because we still had Max, Alan had to drop us at the main door. I had to go up by myself to the unit where I was being treated.
Do you remember it all, or is it all like a blur?
I remember some bits, but I don't remember all of it. It's weird, like, it's like it didn't happen type thing. But yeah, so I went up to the ward and immediately was put in a room. And I remember them asking like what had happened. So I explained everything, like what I just told you. I explained to them the same. And they were like, right, okay, we're gonna get a doctor to come and review you. So I took, like, I had a coat on, I had like my trainers on, I just took them all off and I was just lying on the bed, like wanting to go to sleep again. So then that happened. I fell asleep for like 5 minutes, and the doctor came in. asked what had happened. And so I told the doctor, like, what had happened. Then the next thing I know, there was another midwife had come in and they were doing, like, swabs and stuff. So I had a COVID swab, I had a throat swab, and I had a swab from down below as well. Mm-hmm. Just to see if I could sort of get to the bottom of why I was feeling the way that I was.
Yeah.
So, like, in between that, I was just on, like, half-hourly observations. When I got admitted to hospital, my temperature was 40.3. My heart rate was 144. God. So I was tachycardic, if that's how you pronounce it. I think that's how you say it. I was just, honestly, like, completely out of it. Like, I don't really remember much at all.
It's frightening, that.
I know. Oh,
were you frightened at the time? Do you remember being frightened, or were you okay?
No, I wasn't then. There was a point, which I'll explain like later on, where I was really scared. Mm. But at that point, I sort of just wanted to know, like, what was going on and what was, like, the cause of it all. So after that, what happened? So this is what I mean. I remember some bits, but not all of it. Because I was, like, dozing in between, like, people coming in. So at 10 o'clock in the morning.
So is this when the swabs came back? Did they come back quite quick?
So the COVID swab, that was supposed to take 2 hours, but it didn't come back until it was, like, 8 o'clock at night or something ridiculous. But the other two, they came back and, there was nothing on them. So obviously I had to explain, and they got my notes anyway, so they knew what happened was, like, the blood loss and stuff. So I had to, like, go through all that again. So at 10 o'clock, I got told that I was going to be going down for a scan on my tummy. So I went down for my scan and came back up. And I think it was just after that that Alan got in, after he'd sorted, like, the girls and Max. So luckily, like, some of the stuff I know is just because Alan was there as well. So yeah, I went for the scan. I was on all sorts of drips, like IV antibiotics, IV paracetamol. Like, it was ridiculous. I had, like, an oxygen thing up my nose to give us more oxygen because my oxygen levels were low. So yeah, went through all of that, and then it wasn't until about 1 o'clock that we got told that it was definitely sepsis, and to think the cause of it was leftover pregnancy tissue in the womb.
Oh God.
So that's what we got told was the cause of it. And they'd got that from the scan, and they were like, look, we're gonna have to take you down to the theatre to operate. We won't do that until your COVID swab comes back. I know I knew in my heart that it wasn't COVID. I was like, I know it's not COVID, but obviously they can't do anything about it until they've had that negative result.
God.
It was like just a waiting game, really, obviously. Like, Alan was there, luckily, so I wasn't by myself. But the whole time he was there, I was just out of it. Like, I couldn't speak. Like, I was drinking. I had to keep, like, my fluids up. Luckily, I was on a drip as well, but I had to keep drinking water too. I wasn't allowed to eat because obviously I was going down to theatre. So I had all that to worry about. And then it was half one when I got told that I was going to, that what the cause of it all was. And then it was 8:30 that night when I got told that I was going to be going down for theatre and told, like, what was going to happen. It was basically just an operation to go in and remove the tissue that had been left over.
Was that through, like, vaginally, or did they have to go cut you open?
So I was told originally that it was going to be, like, cut open, like, sort of like a cesarean type operation. But then luckily it was able to be done keyhole, so vaginally it was just done, which was lucky.
Yes. Yeah. How do they get to that bit, though? Like, how do they know which bit of tissue it is? Like,
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I can remember them explaining it all. Like, obviously, I was completely out of it. I didn't know what was going on. But they did explain it to Alan, and they sort of said, I think they can go up with like a camera as well.
Yeah.
And then they can just, it was, I think they said it was like, it was getting burnt off.
Right.
So they were going to like burn it off. Instead of like pulling it out, they were going to burn it, I think.
Yeah. God, that sounds painful.
Well, I was under like, I was knocked out for it, so I don't remember the actual procedure. But what I do remember, when I got told that I was going for an operation, that's when I was scared. Because obviously I was like, I said to Alan, the first thing I said was, I'm going to die. Like, I thought I was going to die. He rang the girls, obviously, because I was going down for the operation. And all I can remember was Mia shouting down the phone, I love you, mummy.
Oh,
and I just burst out crying. Like, I couldn't speak. I couldn't say it back. But the tears were just pouring out my eyes. Like, it was horrendous.
Why did you think that? Were you just so scared at this point now?
Yeah, I think it was just the way that I was feeling and going for the operation, and it was, I think it was just everything that just hit us at once.
God.
And I said to Alan, like, the first thing I said after he hung up the phone, I was like, I'm going to die. He was like, you're not going to die. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. And I was like, yeah, but you've got no control over it. And that was when I was scared. Like, I actually I think I was going to wake up.
And also, not to, I don't want to upset you, but not to bring this up, you've only recently like lost your mum, didn't you, really? So then it's like the whole thing, you've come too close to these kind of things happening before.
I think it was just everything that had happened in the last couple of years, months, days, just hit us at once, and I was like, I'm gonna make it.
God, that's frightening. So frightening. Oh God. Like, so in your head, you know, when you were having that call, did you think that was the last time that you would speak to your children?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I thought I was going to speak to them. Obviously I couldn't speak because I was completely out of it. I didn't have a clue what was going on. But that was like, I was like, that's the last time I'm going to hear the voice.
Like, that's horrible.
It was horrendous. Like, I was heartbroken, but all I wanted to say was, I love you so much. And I couldn't even speak. I only just mustered up the energy to say to Alan, I'm going to die.
God. I bet you were in shock as well. Like, it's just awful. I mean, awful to even think like that. But, oh, God. It's like a lot to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where you don't think it's ever going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You hear about it, but you don't think, or you think, oh, that'll never happen to me.
Yeah, you don't think it. Well, sepsis is something, you know, we've all heard of, and, you know, I'd never had anyone close to me it happened to, and then obviously it happened to you, and it really opens your eyes to actually, you know, no one is really safe. I mean, you can simply have a water infection and get sepsis, can't you?
Yeah, like, it sounds silly, but, like, me and Alan Wash, you know, like, what's it called? 24 Hours in A&E. So we'd like watch that, and there'd be like kids on it that have gone in with sepsis, and you think, oh my God, like, and you think, it's never going to happen to me, but I feel so sorry for them, like, I hope they're okay and stuff like that. And then it happens to you and you're like, oh, it could literally happen to anyone for any reason at all.
It's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's so after the operation then, I'm guessing, were you asleep a long time or?
So I think I went in at about 8:30, I was taken down, and then it was about 10 o'clock when I sort of woke up. But I was in critical care with oxygen and stuff to start with, just in case anything had gone wrong type thing. I don't know how long the actual procedure was, but I got told, once I got moved from critical care down to where the room Alan was, I was told that I'd gone well and everything. So, but it was weird. As soon as I'd had that operation, I felt fine.
That's so weird. It's so good that they could pinpoint where it was coming from.
Yeah.
Because what happens when you have sepsis and they don't know where it's coming from?
So, well, that happened to me the second time.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. God, Lord. Oh, no. Yeah, I forgot about this. I remember you went back in. So, carry on.
But, yeah, so obviously after the operation, I was well, fine. Got discharged after a couple of days with just oral antibiotics. They wanted to keep me in because my temperature was still high. But then once I was given the oral antibiotics, it went down and it was just a steady temp, like normal temperature. So they were happy for us to go home. And then about 2 weeks later, I was sat just watching telly and I said to Alan, like, oh, I'm really tired. And he was like, oh, you'll probably just need to go for a nap. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, I feel like everything hurts. Like I feel achy and then I started shivering. And Alan was like, oh, I wonder if you've got like the flu or something. So because I wasn't well, we'd asked Alan's dad to look after the girls. So we came to pick them up and he was like, I think you've just got like flu or something. It was that time of year, it was the end of October. Because I'd taken my temperature and it was like 38, 39, I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. But then we took it again and it had gone down. So it was like just hot and cold type thing. Mm-hmm. And it was just feeling like I had the flu. So then Alan was like, look, I'm going to book you in for a COVID test just to be on the safe side. I don't think that is what it is, but you never know. So that was about, I think my appointment for that test was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So went, got the test done, came home, and then I didn't feel anywhere near as bad as I did the first time. So I genuinely didn't think it would be sepsis again. I just thought, oh, it's like flu. I'll feel a bit better in the morning. And then obviously we still had Max because I'm not ready to let him go.
No, definitely not, especially after everything you've been through.
So we still had Max, and obviously he's a brilliant sleeper. Like he sleeps 12 hours at night. So it wasn't like really not an issue, but we knew like you didn't really need looking after as much because he slept all night. And it got to a point, I think it was about 7 o'clock, and I was like, I'm going to go to bed. So we went upstairs and we were watching telly in bed, and I was just like shaking, but I was like, I didn't feel cold. Like I didn't feel like it was a cold shake. I was literally just like proper uncontrollably shaking. Like,
oh God.
Alan was like, are you okay? I was like, I don't know. I just can't control it. And then I was doing like my like deep breaths. And I thought maybe like it could be a panic attack related to like how I felt when I first had sepsis, because obviously I had the shivering then.
Yeah.
Maybe it just set it all off.
And like a trigger attack or something, yeah. Like last time this happened. Yeah.
So I thought it might have been that. And Alan was like, oh yeah, maybe we'll see if it happens again. So then it happened again and it was the same. Like I couldn't physically stop myself. It was for about a good 10, 20 minutes, like just of this uncontrollable shaking. So then it got to the point where Alan was just still taking my temperature and that, but it wasn't anything alarming. It was on the high side of 37, but it wasn't like anything alarming. Like we'd think, oh my God, you need to go to the hospital. So then I went to sleep. I slept all night and I woke up the next morning. I felt a bit better. And then I got up to go downstairs to make breakfast. And I felt really like I was going to faint. So I managed to not, like I just stood still and I took deep breaths and I was like, right. And I was like, Alan, I feel really like I'm going to faint. So we came down and then all of a sudden I was just sick in the sink.
Oh God.
And so then that was when Alan was like, right, I'm going to ring 111. So he rang 111 while I was like sat on the chair. He brought Max down as well. So I was like just talking to Max, like as you do, like just holding him and that. He ran 111, he went through it all with them and they were like, right, we're going to send an emergency ambulance.
I bet you were like, what?
Yeah. So I was like, what? What's going on? So then they came, I got blue lighted to hospital and explained everything to like the triage nurse. And she was like, right, we're going to get you a room on delivery suite because it was only 4 weeks postpartum. So because I was only, I think it goes up to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
After weeks, then you get admitted to an actual ward for treatment.
Yeah, apparently that's when it's, I was just reading about it actually, and it was saying that sepsis can happen, they say postpartum sepsis up to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that actually. That's just another thing to be fearful of if I ever get pregnant.
God, I'm probably scaring everyone from having a baby.
No, it's important to raise awareness, because how would people know? Like, you didn't even know. So at least people know to look out for these things.
Yeah, but then I got admitted to the ward, and this was a different hospital to the hospital where I gave birth and went the first time. It was a different hospital, so they had different rules. So Alan could come that day, but he wasn't allowed to stay over, which he was allowed the first time. And then after that, it was only 1 hour period for visiting. So I was like in hospital by myself, like most of the time, which I think is what made the whole situation worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got admitted into the hospital, and they were like, oh yeah, we think like the sepsis has returned. And I was like, right, okay. And they were like, but we can't work out where it's, like, we can't pinpoint where it's coming from. So
God.
They took, had bloods taken, blood cultures taken, and I had blood taken from the pulse. I don't know what that means, but apparently it's a quicker way of finding out if something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that one hurt. It was like out of my wrist. It was horrendous.
Oh, God. What, where your pulse is?
Yeah, like, you know.
Oh, God, I don't like the sound of that.
It was horrendous.
Yeah.
And then I was in the room, and I was told that I was going to be getting moved, but I couldn't be moved until I'd provided a negative COVID result. So they give us another COVID test at the hospital. But while I was there, I got a test from the one I'd done the night before with Alan that said it was negative. And I showed the hospital, and they were like, oh no, we can't accept that because it hasn't come from the hospital. And I was like, really? Like, this is proven that I don't have
COVID.
But for that first 24-hour period in that hospital, I was trapped as COVID positive. I wasn't trapped for sepsis, I was trapped for having COVID.
But what if you had taken a turn for the worst?
Well, so obviously Alan came, and he was saying the same. He's like, he's not like me. Like, I try and be nice about things. He just says what he thinks. Yeah. He was like the one that was like, oh, like, this is ridiculous. Like, she needs to be treated for sepsis. You can see she's had sepsis before. She only had it 2 weeks ago, this, that, and the other. But they were just saying, until we get that negative test, we can't, like, treat her properly.
Oh, my God.
So, like, they said it would take 2 hours.
You could have died during that time. And then what?
I know. But I think because the symptoms that I had, literally, it was, like I say, it was nowhere near as bad as the first time. So I literally just felt to me like I had the flu. That's what I thought it was. I didn't think, oh, it's going to be sepsis again.
No.
But when I got admitted, they did say, oh, yeah, we're going to, it's suspected sepsis. So I sort of knew that I'd come back. And I was like, it all makes sense, really. Like, there's so many different symptoms to look out for sepsis. Like, just because you've got a few and not all of them doesn't mean that it isn't sepsis type thing. So I had, like, shivering. I had a temperature, and I was, like, I had the sickness, because I didn't have all of them that's normally in the list. I didn't think, oh yeah, it's sepsis again. I just thought, oh, like, it's just flu.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then obviously I got put on, when they got the test back to say negative, which I knew it was going to come back negative because I'd already given them that test. They put us on the IV antibiotics again, and the IV paracetamol. And I was on that I think they had to change it every hour. And then eventually I got moved on to like the postnatal ward there, and I was just in this room by myself, and I was just sat there, like, at this point, like, I was sick. I remember I was so, like, down and deflated, like, I hadn't seen the girls properly for what, 4 weeks nearly more. Obviously, I hadn't hardly been with Max, and when I got discharged from hospital the first time, like, I was tired. I didn't have loads of energy, so, like, it wasn't as if I could be the normal mum that I was type thing.
Yeah, it's that whole time where you want to bond with your baby that you've kind of missed out on, really.
Yeah, so I remember, like, after, obviously, them saying it was sepsis and the antibiotics, I remember saying, like, look, I want to go home. Like, I don't want to be in hospital. I was like, is there anything that like we can do type thing? And they were like, you've still got a temperature, so we'll wait until like your temperature regulates and then we'll see what happens. So that was like on the second day. On the third day, I was just I completely was just sick of my life. Like, I was just crying the whole time. I was just so down. And I was just like, look, I just want to be with my kids. I was like, surely, like, you can just give us some antibiotics type thing and send us home. Mm. And they were like, we can't work out what the what tipped it off for me was that they couldn't work out what the cause of the infection was. No, they took like 3 lots of blood, 3 blood cultures, and they still didn't know what was causing it.
God.
I was just like, look, I want to go home.
How do they treat that then? Just give you antibiotics till it goes?
Yeah, basically. So what had happened is the first time I was sent home with antibiotics, but those antibiotics weren't strong enough to kill the infection that was there within the set period of time. So when I'd come off the antibiotics after a couple of days, that's when I started feeling poorly again. So it was just the antibiotics weren't long enough or strong enough.
Right, yeah. Gosh, that's frightening, isn't it? Because you'd think they'd just give you the strongest ones, wouldn't they? Just to make sure 100% it's gone.
Well, you would like to think so, but you never know, do you? You don't know anything,
gosh. I guess.
But once I got home, took those antibiotics, when that had finished, like, I've been fine since, like, it hasn't come back. And that was the end of October last year, so...
That is good. Yeah. Yeah. No, so that I mean, it's not likely to come back, hopefully, then now.
No, not unless I get it from something else, like if I get another infection or
it's frightening though, that, because you get scared then to every time you feel a bit under the weather, I imagine, like, you'd be terrified.
Worst. You do think the worst, especially like after like going through it the first time and obviously, I was so poorly. Mm. And then I didn't even think it would come back the second time, but it did. You just think anything. Like, I've got a cold now. I don't know if you can tell, but, like, it's just completely knocked me. Like, normally with a cold, I'd be fine. But, like, the past couple of days, I've just been like, I just want to stay in bed. I don't want to get up. I'm tired.
Scared.
Yeah, it's just that. And it's just knocked me completely. Like, I'm just...
I can understand it though, because it's like, you know, you can, sadly, you can get sepsis from literally anything, can't you? Like, if you know, I think you can get it from like a splinter in your finger, can't you, or something, if it gets infected.
But this is like the thing, right? It sounds stupid, but like, we had my friend's Labrador around, and she like jumped up and she managed to scratch my leg. It was dead sore, and I was like, no, I'm gonna get sepsis again.
Do you know,
like, anything now, I'm just like, I'm going to get it again. Like,
yeah, it's frightening. But the good thing is, you need to think, is probably, you know what it feels like, or if you don't feel quite right, I don't think you'd wait this time. No. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, you think how lucky you were, really, from people that get sepsis can be ill within a few hours, and that's it. Whereas you actually went to bed that night. Obviously, you must have had it, you know, at 6 o'clock the night before, and then you went to bed, and yeah, you were breathing funny and everything, but you managed to get through like the whole next day and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's frightening anyway. I'm scared of anything anyway, because I'm just really bad. But I can imagine that'll just be one of those things for the rest of your life. Well, you'll never forget it, will you?
No. I mean, like, it was horrendous. Like, it got, even for Alan, like, he was, if I didn't have him, I would have been screwed, because, like, it got to the point where he was sleeping on hospital floors, like, because the first time the hospital, like, you could only have the bed from 10 o'clock. But obviously, because I was, like, poorly and I was sleeping a lot, like, he was just trying to sleep when I was sleeping. So when I was awake, he could look after us type thing. And it got to the point where it's like sleeping on the floor. He didn't eat for 3 days while I was in hospital. Like, it's just crazy. Like, what, it's not just me. It's like, obviously affected him mentally. Like, he was like, he won't talk about it. He's like, I don't want to talk about it, because it's just completely one of those things that's just stressed him out.
Yeah, like, it's awful.
Just, it affects everyone. Like, and I just remember that walking out of the house after they were at the nana's, and I went to her house to see the girls, and they just looked at us and they were like confused, and they're like, "Mummy, you're back."
Oh, poor babies.
No, I was just like completely confused, and like it just affects everyone, doesn't it? Like, it's not just me. Obviously, I went through it, but they have as well mentally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they've had to go without the mummy, and not nice, is it? It's awful. The whole thing is awful. So what, you know, afterwards, did it take you a while to actually feel 100%, or did you kind of bounce back quite quickly?
So I still don't feel 100%. Obviously, my main thing, my main issue is when I got discharged from hospital, I was just sent home. I wasn't told, like, you might get some side effects from it, or you might feel like this. I had to do all that research myself. And I can remember, like, I was just constantly tired. Like, obviously, you're going to be tired after what you've just been through and having a baby. But this was, like, to the point where I was, like, just had no energy at all. Like, I struggled to get up the stairs, like, type thing.
Oh, God.
So I think the physical side, it's being, like, I've been lethargic, massively, massively tired. I mean, that's got a bit better. Muscle weakness, like breathlessness. So, like, when I say I was struggling to get up the stairs, I couldn't get halfway without feeling out of breath.
God.
I had, like, joint and muscle pains, like insomnia. Like, I hardly sleep.
Do you think you're suffering, like, with your mental health because of all this or not?
Probably, yeah. I think... Yeah, I mean, I've definitely sort of got postnatal anxiety from leaving Max.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so stupid, but like, I was in the car when he went to get his first needles, and you're probably the same as me. You don't want to take them for the needles because they cry. So yeah. Alan came in. And like, I was in the car, I wasn't far from him, but the whole time he wasn't next to us and I couldn't see him, I was really anxious. Like, I was stressed. It was the worst thing. And I knew he was safe because obviously he was with Alan. But like, in the thought of just like, obviously, like his nana and his granddad, they're like, "Oh, can I have him like overnight when I'm allowed?" And like, the thought of it, just, I'm like, no, I can't bear the thought of him not being next to us.
No, it's so scary, isn't it? Just, I mean, what do you find that you're up in the night for? Just like, you can't sleep thinking about it, or?
It's not necessarily what happened, it's just I can't sleep.
No.
Ever since being in hospital the first time, I just can't sleep. Like, like the girls go to sleep at about 7:30. Max is the same. And obviously we've got Marley, who's the puppy, and she'll like sleep in a bed, or she'll sleep on our bed, and because she's a puppy, she sleeps quite a lot. So like, if it's quiet and nothing's going on, like, I'll fall asleep quite early, which is fine, but I'll be still sat up until about 11-12 o'clock, not doing anything, not thinking of anything. I'm just up, I can't sleep.
Yeah,
it's just weird. Like, I just don't.
No,
it's not that I'm tired.
Can you not relax anymore? Yeah. As much.
No, I can't. I've tried a bath. I've tried, like, the whole self-care. I've tried face masks. I've tried...
What about a magazine, a good magazine?
Nothing works. I've tried reading. I've tried listening to music. Like, just having the telly on, like, calming apps, nothing. Nothing works. I just can't sleep.
No, you can't switch off. Yeah. Oh, it's frightening, isn't it? I mean, the whole thing, you've been through, like, a really traumatic... Would you say 6 months it must be now, is it?
Six months, November, December. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Six months.
God, and really, it wasn't that long ago at all. It's frightening, really, what you've been through. It will probably bother you for a while. I mean, you might actually find that you want to talk to someone about it. You know, just to kind of get it out.
Yeah, I have been in touch with the UK Sepsis Trust. Have been in touch with their support team.
You've chosen them as your charity for My Bump to Baby Newcastle, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Yes.
I love that. No, we'll put a link to that in the notes to this episode.
Yeah.
But you've got a blog that you've written on your whole story, which is really, really well written as well. And I'll put the link to that in the notes here too.
Yes. The sepsis one, I haven't fully finished, but it's nearly finished. It's
just
taken a while.
No, I know. Well, the thing is, there's a lot to it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's not as if it's just like one story. It's like loads of little ones and one big one.
Mm. Yeah, and then it's like sometimes you just might not be ready to press that button because there's still other things that you want to include and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's
Has it affected like you with your bonding with Max, or do you think it's not really? How do you think that's been?
No, that I'm obsessed with him.
Like, oh, I love that.
He's like my little, obviously I love all my kids, but like he's just my little best friend. Like yeah. Anything, I'm just like, I'll change all his nappies, I'll feed him. Like no one gets a look in. He's just my little boy.
Oh, I love that. Oh, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on and talking about that. If anyone's got any questions, are they okay to message you about?
Yeah, of course.
That's brilliant. And is there, what we'll do is we'll put a link to the symptoms as well. Like you said, you might not necessarily have all of them.
Yes.
Thank you, Lauren, for sharing your story. And I'm so glad you're better. I was worried about you at the time. It was worrying.
I say to Alan, I'm like, you know, when I told you to ring Carly, he was like, yeah. I was like, what did you say? He was like, I can't remember. I was like, oh God, I can just imagine a reaction.
Oh, I was like, what? Oh no. Oh, I was so upset. It really, really upset me. But I'm just so glad you're okay now.
Yeah. Getting there.
God. You are. You're getting there. And, you know, thanks so much for sharing it, because I just think it's something that more people need to be aware of after birth, because it can happen, can't it? Up to 6 weeks after, these kind of things can happen.
Yeah, it is. It's scary. Like you say, you don't realise until you actually go through it.
No, absolutely. No, everyone needs to be careful of that kind of thing and look out for it. So thanks very much, Lauren. And could you just tell our listeners where they can find you, if that's okay?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and my username is @thenewcastlemum, all one word. And my Facebook page is the same, just The Newcastle Mum.
Perfect, perfect. So thanks very much for being our guest today, Lauren.
No problem. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
I loved it. It's brilliant. Thank you. Well, I say it's brilliant. That sounds a bit bad. I mean, I've loved having a chat about it. I'm just glad you're okay now. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of 50 Shades of Motherhood. 50 Shades of Motherhood is all about being free, being real, being raw, and saying what you want to say without fear of judgment. So if you have enjoyed today's episode, please, please share it with your friends. You never know who it might help. Not everyone is so open about sharing their stories. So it's really important to raise awareness around topics so that it can help other people feel less alone. And also, if you don't mind reviewing us and subscribing, that would be amazing. It means the more listeners we have, the more podcasts that I can create. So thank you once again for listening. If you want to make any suggestions for future episodes, please pop me an email over. My email address is carla@mybump2baby.com. And I look forward to speaking to you next time on 50 Shades of Motherhood.
We have a really special offer today, and I'm so excited to share it with you, the ultimate giveaway. Do you want to receive one of our planners for free? Or would you like access to our Instagram growth course worth £59? At My Bump to Baby, we are massively passionate about making sure parents have the protection in place that they need should the worst happen. If you choose to book in with your nearest family law solicitor today to have a look and a chat about your will, or if you book in with your financial advisor to review your family protection or your pension, we will give you access to either our Instagram course with £59, or we will send you one of our amazing planners completely free of charge. To qualify for this, all you need to do is fill in the form at the bottom of this podcast and we will book you in with your nearest advisor. You don't need to take out a policy and you don't need to take out a will. It's just simply having a chat to make sure that you have the protection that you need should the worst happen. We are so excited to bring you this offer and we hope you take advantage of it because protecting your family is the most important decision that you could make today.